Some of you may wonder, what good is prayer in promoting the gospel? Prayer is typically a private activity between us and God, and it's not seen by many non-Christians. So how does it help others come to know, understand, and love Jesus? Well, by the end of this sermon, I hope that you will agree with me that prayer is not only an important, but it is an essential aspect of evangelism. I'm going to approach this topic two directions. First, we'll look at the importance of prayer. That is, why do we need to pray? Second, the power of prayer. What should we expect to see when we pray? What difference will it make? Well, the passage we read in Matthew just before tells us a lot about the importance of prayer in evangelism. This passage is a pivoting point in Jesus' ministry. Up to this point, Jesus has been doing all the teaching and sharing of the gospel. Now, Jesus will commission his disciples to go out and spread the good news as well. Let's read the passage again and see how Jesus approaches bringing his disciples into this mission. I'll read from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, preaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Here we see the problem Jesus is facing. The people are lost without a shepherd, but there aren't enough people to lead them. There's one of Jesus, and he can't be everywhere at once. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, the obvious solution to me is just send out more workers. But that's not the first instruction Jesus gives his disciples. The first thing he says is in verse 38 is to pray and ask God to send out workers. Then later on, he sends out the 12 to preach as well. We see here that all of Jesus' followers are to get involved in the harvest by praying for workers to be sent out. Why does the instruction to pray come before the instruction to go, though? Why is it important that we are all praying for this harvest? This is because the harvest is God's, it's not ours. The challenge in front of us is not one that we are capable of meeting in our own human strength. We know that no one can come to faith unless the Holy Spirit works in their heart to open them up to hear the gospel. Although Jesus gave his followers the task of sharing the gospel far and wide, this is not something that human endeavor alone can achieve. We cannot fulfill this mission that Jesus has tasked us with without God's help. This is why prayer is essential in the gospel mission. I think the relationship between a child and a parent is a very helpful way of thinking about prayer. Now, I do want to acknowledge before I go on that for many of us this analogy is somewhat marred because we live in a world with earthly parents who are fallen, and therefore to differing degrees have all been let down and hurt by our parents. But God is not a human. God does not suffer from the faults that our earthly parents do. He's our perfect, loving Father who will never let us down. So when we think of God as Father, we must think of him as what a father should be. For those of you who find thinking of God as Father rather unhelpful, I want you to know that God feels your pain as well, and he weeps with you. And I would encourage you to remember that it is God who defines fatherhood and not the fallen examples we've experienced. But back to the illustration. A child can do many things on their own, but there are many things that are beyond their capability. A child who can't reach the doorknob can stand at the door for as long as they want, wishing the door to open, but until they ask for help, they should not expect that door to just open up. As a father myself, I really enjoy hearing requests from my little son Noah, and I look forward to helping him in any way that I'm able and is beneficial to him. Likewise, even us grown-up adults who are independent There is still much that we can't do on our own. But God can help. The difference here is that instead of just asking a bigger, more intelligent version of ourselves, our requests are to the creator and sustainer of the universe. For him, there is no task that is too big or too small. God doesn't need to work through us. He could accomplish all of his aims on his own. But he chooses to work through us. He works through us both collectively as the church, as the body of Christ, and individually as his own children. When we pray to God, we acknowledge that we need his help, and we are inviting him to work through us. And he delights in granting that request and empowering us for the mission of promoting the gospel. We also don't need to worry whether our prayers are going to be correct or eloquent enough for God. In Romans 8, 26 and 27 we read, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Now, when Noah sees the mandarins on his bench, on the kitchen bench at home, and he reaches out and says, "Bana, Bana," I don't expect him to use a full sentence. I don't expect him to know that not every fruit is called a banana. I know he wants a mandarin, and I will get it for him. I also know if I just give him the mandarin, he's going to try to eat it like an apple. So I'll first peel it and divide it up into segments. Prayer is something that all of us can do. It is the most basic and accessible form of evangelism. Unlike having a conversation with your friends, you don't even need to be able to form a full, coherent sentence. The Holy Spirit can intercede for us even from our wordless groanings. There are no excuses to not be bringing those around us who haven't accepted the good news of gospel before God in prayer. We must be careful not to neglect prayer in our approach to evangelism. If praying for those around us is not a regular and consistent part of our prayer life, then we should not expect to see God working through us in the lives of those around us. I'm going to steal a line from Julianne when she came and ran a workshop for us on evangelism a few weeks ago. "If all of your prayers in the last week were answered, how many people would have come to faith in Christ?" I know for me that line hit me hard, because it wouldn't be enough. God wants to work through us, but he's not going to force that onto us if we do not invite him to work through us first. If we want to be part of Jesus' mission and to see people coming to faith in Christ, then we first need to be dedicated in praying that God would be raising up workers and preparing the soil in the hearts of those around us. So that's why it's important to pray. Let's move on and look at the power of prayer. We have seen that we need to pray, but what should we expect to see when we do pray? Well, one of the most important things that prayer does is that it aligns our will to God's will. Prayer helps to align our desires to God's desires, to what he wants. Now, this makes sense from a purely psychological level. If we're daily spending time in prayer, thinking about God and bringing before him the needs of those around us, then that pattern of thinking and time is going to shape the way we act. But prayer is so much more than just a psychological trick. When we pray, the Holy Spirit is at work in us. The Holy Spirit is not just shaping our prayers, but is also shaping us as we pray. When we pray, we invite God through the Holy Spirit to work in us, and he will shape our desires and actions to be more like those of Christ. Now, what is God's desire for those who don't believe? Well, we saw this back in Matthew 9, verse 36. We saw when Jesus saw those who are lost without a shepherd, he had compassion on them. The NIV translates the meaning here, but it doesn't do a good job of conveying all the emotion in the original Greek. The word translated as compassion is the verb form of the Greek word used to describe your internal organs. It could quite literally be translated that he was gutted. You know that feeling in your stomach when it feels like the bottom's fallen out of it when you hear horrible news? That is how Jesus felt when he saw all those who were lost and didn't have a shepherd to lead them. The mission to spread the gospel comes from Jesus' compassion for those who are lost. And that compassion needs to shape us in the way we pray. Again, in verse 38, the word ask could also be translated to plead or to beg. When we pray for those around us, we shouldn't just pray a couple of times and then get bored of saying the same prayer. Instead, we must continue to plead with God on behalf of those who don't know him. As we pray for those around us, we need to be moved by the compassion that Jesus felt when he saw those who don't have a shepherd. Now, if you don't find yourself praying regularly for those around us, perhaps another good prayer to pray would be that God would help to fill you with that compassion, that he would shape you and fill you with his desire for those who are lost. We can see the power of prayer in spreading the gospel by looking at some of the ways we are told to pray in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 2, 1, verses 1 to 4, we are told, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving are made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Here we are told to be praying urgently for all those around us. But why are we to do this? Why are Christians to be praying for all people? The reason is in verse 3 and 4. It says, "This is good and pleases our God and Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth." When we pray for those around us, we are part of fulfilling God's desire to redeem the world. Prayer is not an optional, passive part of evangelism. Rather, it is the foundational expression of our commitment to promoting the gospel to those who live around us. Now, I'm sure that every one of us here today who is a Christian would know of people who prayed for them in the years ahead of when they came to faith. My wife, Kirsten, and I have extremely different stories of how we came to be Christians. We came from very different backgrounds and upbringings, and we learned about the gospel in quite different ways. But the thing we both have in common is that we can name half a dozen people who diligently prayed for us for many years that we would come to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Every story I've heard of someone coming to faith includes people praying for them. Not only does prayer play a role in bringing unbelievers to faith, it is also essential that we pray for those sent out to share the gospel. Those called into full-time ministry need the support of others in prayer. In many places in the New Testament, we are told to pray for those in ministry. We read an example at the start of the service this morning in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. I'll read it again. "Pray also for me that wherever I speak, words may be given to me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, which I, an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." As John said, we can be tempted to think that those in ministry don't need prayer for words and boldness. We've seen them in action. But trust me, we do need prayer. You've probably heard people who are going into ministry and raising support. They'll say that they need more support in prayer than what they need financially. They're not just saying this to make themselves sound more spiritual or godly and to make it seem less like they're asking for money. They actually mean it. This is not something that I really appreciated myself until starting on the MTS journey. I know that in the past, when I was choosing to support people in ministry, I gave much more thought to the financial side of things than the spiritual and prayer support that they need. Often, I'll be lucky if I prayed for them when the prayer notes came through in my email inbox. My experience of starting MTS has led me to reconsider the way that I think about supporting others. I put a much greater emphasis on regularly praying for them. I think a verse a little bit earlier in chapter 6 of Ephesians really helps drive this point home. Ephesians 6 verse 12 reads, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." The chief challenges of those in ministry are spiritual ones. This means that it is essential that all of us become partners in evangelism by supporting those God has called into ministry in regular and earnest prayer. Ministry and evangelism can seem like an individual effort, but it's a bit like road racing on bicycles. There is one person in the cycling team that we see on the news when they cross the finish line, but they did not get there on their own. They were part of a team that supported each other, with different people taking turns to break up the air at the front of the group and to make sure that their captain was in a good position with enough energy to compete in the final sprint to the finish. Likewise, as Christians, those of us who are supporting the people on the front lines by praying for them are a critical part of making sure the mission is successful. We should not think that we are supporting others to do the work of the gospel mission. Instead, we are joining them as a critical member of the team who has a very real, everyday impact on promoting the gospel. So let's wrap up and bring this all together. Prayer is the hidden gospel mission that Jesus has entrusted us with. It can be tempting to focus on the visible parts of evangelism, to think about how we have conversations, how we make sure our life presents the gospel well, our strategies for helping unbelievers to come in and connect the church. We can spend so much time planning church programs, conducting training in evangelism, and reading books on how to talk to people about Jesus. But none of that will mean anything if we aren't praying. We need to pray both for God to be working in the hearts of those who don't believe, and that he'll be equipping and sending out people with the opportunity to speak into their lives. When you look around at those in our workplaces, in our schools, in our sporting teams, those who live on the block next to us, we need to see that they don't know Jesus. We need to be filled with the compassion he has for them, and that should drive us to prayer. We need to be compassionately bringing these people before God and pleading with him that he would send out workers for the harvest. We should ask that these people are moved to accept the gospel and pray that we would be ready for the everyday conversations we have with them. Not all of us are gifted evangelists who are comfortable to share the gospel with every single person we meet, but all of us can be a part of the hidden gospel mission of prayer and to bring these people before God. In doing so, we express our dependence on God and our commitment to mission. Now, I found preparing the sermon very challenging, and it made me take a good hard look at my own prayer life. I pray that all of you here today will have been moved in a similar manner, that we might increase our prayer for the gospel mission. It's a scary prayer, because when we pray that, we're opening ourselves up to be called into that mission. But it's a prayer that we should all be willing to make. Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a relational God, that you want to hear us. We thank you that you choose to work through us, that we can be involved in the glorious mission. We thank you that we know your love. We thank you that we know the peace that you bring. And I pray that you will fill us with the same compassion for those who are lost. That we would be willing to first pray, Lord, and then that you would prepare us to go. Please help us to have confidence in you, to know that even though we are not up to the mission of sharing your gospel, that we can't, through our own skill, convert anyone. But we know that you do work through us, Lord. I pray that you will shape us after you. In your name. Amen.